was a great lesson. Appreciate it very much. And the lesson was about growing up, because this morning we're going to look at a man called John Mark. And the title to this lesson is John Mark, Maturity Takes Time.
Amen.
Growing up takes time. There's not a ton of material in the Bible about John Mark. There is church tradition that says he's the author of the book of Mark. But we don't know that for sure, but it's a pretty strong likelihood. But there is stuff in the Bible about John, even if you don't take, about John Mark, if you don't take his book into account. We're going to try to look at some scriptures that have John Mark in it to see what we can learn that we could apply to our lives, that we could be more like Jesus when we're done.
Amen.
We know that the church started sometime around A.D. 33, maybe a little bit earlier, maybe A.D. 30. And we're going to look mostly in the book of Acts. We will look in Acts 12 first, if y'all would like to go there. I want to give you a little bit of history about before we get to this. The story we're going to start with happened about A.D. 40. So, you know, the church is less than 10 years old. And what happened is that King Herod began to persecute the church, and he arrested some members, and he killed James, the apostle, the brother of John. And he found out that pleased the Jews a great deal. And because a lot of his subjects didn't love him, he wanted to do things like that would make them love him. And so he also went and arrested Peter just before the Passover. And he intended to kill him after the Passover. And when we get here to chapter 12 of Acts, what's going on is that Peter is in prison, and he's chained to some guards. He's got guards watching the doors, and it's a bad thing. The whole church is gathered together in different homes, and they're praying about it, but it's not looking good. Then, all of a sudden, an angel comes and pokes Peter in the side and says, "Get up." And he gets up, get dressed. He gets dressed, and he leads him out of the jail. The doors just open right in front of him by themselves. And he's out. He goes down the street, and all of a sudden, the angel's gone. And Peter thought, all this time, he thought, "I'm having a vision." And then he kind of pinched himself. Oh, this is really happening. So he went to the house of John Mark. He went to John Mark's mother's house, and they went. That's really where the story starts. And then in Acts chapter 12, verse 12, I'm going to add a little bit to it because I need to. When Peter realized that he was not dreaming, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name is Mark, where many were gathered together and praying. So this is the first place that John Mark appears in the Bible. He's a member of the early church. At his mother's house, he's probably not an adult yet. And so, come on. And so that's just the introduction to John Mark. And what goes on after that, it's about A.D. 45, and Saul has been converted, and he's Paul. And Barnabas and Saul were asked to take a aid package from Antioch down to Jerusalem because there'd been a severe famine. And so that's what they did. They went down to Jerusalem with the aid. If somebody could read Acts 12, 25 for me.
I got you. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark.
Okay. What is this? What? Some comments. What do you think about that? These two evangelists, they ask a young man to go with them.
There must have been qualities in John Mark that they knew that he would be a contributor to their mission.
Yes. What kind of qualities might that be?
Faithfulness.
Yes.
Dependability.
Yeah, he must have seemed dependable. Absolutely. You don't want to take somebody who's going to be an anchor, do you? He seemed to be must have been a servant. I would imagine that people in the church in Jerusalem must have spoke well of him, because Barnabas and Saul, well, Saul didn't really know him. We'll find out later Barnabas did. If you were a young person shortly after your conversion and some people asked you to move to their church, what would you think about? How would you feel?
Why me?
Why me? Okay.
For me, I mean, and everybody would probably answer that question differently, but mm-hmm. for me, I'd be really excited. I'd be like, I feel needed and wanted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, myself, when I was a new Christian, all I wanted to do was go on a mission team. I didn't care what I did for work. I didn't care about where I live or anything. All I wanted to do was go on a mission team and work for God. And I would have been walking in the clouds if I'd been invited to do that. We're starting to see John Mark, he's maturing. You know, it's probably about 5 years after we first saw Acts 12. I'm sorry, I'm spacing here. Now we jump ahead a couple more years and we get to Acts 13. If I could get somebody to read 13, 1 through 5.
I got it. Now in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, many who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper.
All right. So we see first in about 45 that they asked the young man to go with them back to Antioch. And now the Holy Spirit is calling Barnabas and Saul to go on a missionary trip. He's got big plans for them. And they invite this young man to go with them. It's just a really cool thing to watch young people grow up, don't you think? John agreed to go with them, and we already talked about some of the qualities. This is our first missionary journey. when it lasted about 18 months, possibly 2 years. So they were away from 47 through 48 AD. And then they came back. Around AD 49, where is it? There we go. Around AD 49, we're into Acts 15. Who would have known that all the that there were so many years contained in the book of Acts? It seems like such a short time when you read it.
Yeah.
But when you do some research and you start to put dates to these things, the book of Acts covers about 30 years in total.
Wow.
And so it's obviously just highlights. And so what happened, now we have, well, I'll just ask somebody to read it. If you could do Acts 15, 36 through 41. This is about AD 49. So we're now close to 20 years in the church. Would somebody like to read?
Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a short disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, committed by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches.
Thank you. Is your opinion about John Mark changing?
No.
No?
For me, a little bit.
Why is that?
Because I'm not sure if it explains why, but he deserted Paul and Barnabas during their missionary journey.
Yeah. During the first mission, he agreed to go with them, but at some point, Pamphylia is probably not even halfway done with what they were planning to do. And he just took off on them. If you were mentoring somebody and you had this situation, what would you think?
Something's going on and I need to figure out.
Can I help?
Zoom.
I said, something is going on, and I need to figure out what it is so I can help.
Ah, amen.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
I wish I had the maturity of Zuma, but I would definitely be discouraged, and I would feel discouraged.
Okay.
You know, like I've invested all this time, and come on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lillian?
Well, at the end of this of that passage, it says that him and Barnabas continued to, and then they, I can't remember the end of that, but it says that they did great work.
It said that they parted ways.
And then
Paul was commended by the brothers, and.
Right,
and
John Mark went with Barnabas and they did good things, right? So I do agree that it is a little, it would throw me off that John Mark took off and I would ask all the questions, but I don't think it would I wouldn't discard him as like not a chosen person from God to continue doing the work. I think it just shows that he's a young person and there's so much for that young person to learn.
Yes.
So even though Paul and Barnabas split up, Barnabas and John Mark still did really great work. So that's how I.
Amen. That's good. And we all have different perspectives of how we would respond if we were Paul, if we were Barnabas.
Yeah.
And Paul and Barnabas themselves responded differently.
Yes.
What was the reason that Paul chose not to take him?
I'm looking at this, and I think Paul had a good reason. I mean, it wasn't like a bad reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just thought it best. It says thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia. I mean, it made logical sense to not take him with to do that work if he showed himself to not be up to it.
Right.
So that's why he decided not to.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. That it does make sense. That is a good reason. But Barnabas chose to take him. What about that? Is that a good reason?
Yeah.
We can all have differences of opinions on a lot of things. I tell some people that there's a lot of gray in God's will. We don't know what's best, but we try to do what seems best to us.
And it might also be just the character differences in Paul and Barnabas. You know, maybe Barnabas was more of the, you know, had more of a patience, more of a, you know, I don't know how else to describe it. And Paul was just a, you know, we got to go, we got to get it done. And, you know, it's two very different approaches to doing God's work. And God can use them both.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And like I said, that's AD 49. It's 2 years after they had started the first missionary journey. And now they're going on to their second missionary journey. And so we see that Mark still has some growing to do, right? What do you think about the others? Did Paul still have to grow, or Barnabas still have to grow? Can we learn something about them in there?
I'm sure they all had to grow, but in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure each of them were at different levels, and Barnabas thought that Mark was at a level worthy of taking him, whereas Paul was at a different level, and he took who was worthy near his level.
Okay, yeah. The needs can be different. The desires can be different. Paul had a long mission ahead of him and needed to be able to count on his help. Barnabas had a different mission. We don't know what it is, but he thought that Mark would work fine for that. So I want to jump ahead. We're still around AD 60. So this is, if we go to Colossians chapter 4, and I can read this for you. Colossians is a letter that Paul wrote in order to warn the church about false teachings and myths that were coming into the church. Wanted them to know their faults and wanted to make sure that things were going well. In chapter 4, verse 10, Paul writes, as he's closing out the letter, this is the last chapter, and he says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, because Paul was in prison in Rome, most likely, and this Aristarchus was also in prison with them. They greet you, as does Mark, Barnabas's cousin, concerning whom you have received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him. What do we learn about Mark now?
He's a relative.
Uh-huh.
Bam.
I didn't even know that. I don't even remember that.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a relative. He's a cousin, it looks like. Does that change our opinion a little bit about what went on just a short while before?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, we try harder for family, don't we? We're more patient with those we love.
And we also know them. I think we also know them. We know them better, So I think Barnabas was able to assess his cousin better than Paul. That's why it's more
with God. Amen.
Yeah.
Wow. Amen.
Well, another way of looking at that would be Barnabas didn't want to upset his family.
It could be.
Yeah, they seem to be vastly different personality because Paul had an altercation with Peter as well.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how Barnabas would handle that same situation.
Well, if you go back and read it, he was involved.
I can't remember that part.
And Barnabas did the same thing that Peter did.
Did he? Okay.
Just for the, I don't know if the mics picked that up that far away. Todd said that Paul had a problem with Peter later on in the book of Acts, and Paul rebuked Peter for pulling away from the Gentiles when Jewish brothers came to Galatia. And he said that later on when Paul's writing about it, I think to the Galatians, Paul says that this was so bad, this prejudice was so bad that even Barnabas, who had been with Paul serving the church there, Barnabas was led astray to be these prejudice. Mm-hmm. People are really different. Each one of us is very different. And we can't try to broad brush, you know, where a lot of times we think, oh, liberal, conservative, sharp, not too bright. We there's no paintbrush that covers everybody.
That's right.
We each individually need to be who God calls us to be and be seen for that. Let's see. About the same time that Paul wrote Colossians, he also wrote the book of Philemon. And in Philemon, verse 22, it's only one chapter, so you don't need the chapter. Philemon, verse 22, Paul is writing to this brother, Philemon, and he says, "But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I hope that through your prayers I will be restored to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, and my co-workers." Paul speaks about Mark in two letters. And he's with him in the ministry. What does that tell us about Mark? Louder? Okay, yeah, he grew up.
And now he's with Paul.
He's with Paul. Anything else? What does it tell us about... go ahead.
Yeah, I think maybe what you're getting to is that even though there was, you know, a separation prior between Paul and John Mark, at this point there must have been some, you know, forgiveness, some, you know, grace, and it takes maturity, you know, to be able to do that if someone's rejected you in some way, to... you know, to have that kind of unity again.
Right.
So.
Absolutely. The thing I've been giving you the dates so that you could see the progression. Now, this is about AD 60. When was it that Paul said, "I don't want to take Barnabas"? It was 30. AD 49. So this is 10, 11 years later. He's not just a young kid anymore. He's not a young man anymore. He's an adult, and he's proven himself to be capable.
Amen.
What changes do you think Paul saw in Mark that he decided to have Mark with him?
not an assistant anymore. Like before, he was
labeled an assistant. Yep.
He now is a fellow worker, and he's in the same line of the others. I can't say their names, Demas and Luke. So he's now, you know, I see him as elevated as a fellow worker.
Right.
At this point.
Absolutely. He's a co-worker.
Yeah.
He's not just a coffee getter. Any other thoughts about the changes you'd expect or you believe about Mark?
Just even his reaction to the split between Paul and Barnabas. He didn't try to, you know, keep the feud going. He didn't try to justify himself. You know, he went with Barnabas. He did the work, and he showed, you know, he was focused on the mission. And, you know, I think that, you know, shows a lot about his character, that he didn't have to use the words, but he did, you know, he did the work.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think that Mark must have shown a lot more energy or strength than previously. I mean, we all have opinions about what we call quitters. In Acts 15, Mark, to me, seemed like a quitter. But obviously, Mark didn't quit. He arrived somewhere, but he took a different path. And that is something that we all need to know, that if somebody isn't like me, it doesn't matter. They're not trying to be like me. They're trying to be like Jesus. And they're getting there a different way.
Amen.
I think one way to look at it, too, is, you know, it doesn't say why he left. You know, mm-hmm. And I think, you know, he knew that he wasn't ready, and he went to a place, I'm assuming that he could get the help that he needed.
Amen.
You know, just like when Richard and I first moved here, you know, the leaders that were leading the church here, they knew they needed help. So shortly after we moved here, they moved back to Nashville to get help that they needed. They didn't quit, you know, on God, but they knew that in order to go forward, they needed to go where they could get help.
Amen.
And that could have been, you know, just what he needed to go back, sit back a minute, and regroup.
Right.
And then, you know, be used in that way.
Absolutely.
What that makes me think of, Nora, is just how we are so quick to think that we know best. I mean, you know, I'll speak for myself, you know, but it's just, you know, I think of that scripture that says, you know, my ways are not your ways, and, you know, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And it's like, you know, I think I need to reflect on that more. You know, that I don't know how God is working here in this person's life, you know.
Okay. Another thing that I believe I'm learning about Mark in this is that Mark didn't allow the offense that he felt from Paul. He didn't hold on to that. We can hold on to an offense. We can hold on to feeling bad about somebody for so long. You know, an example. It's not a person, but it's my wife and I used to use Sears. We would buy things from Sears. We liked the store. And they did something, and I can't tell you what it was. They did something that offended me so much that I never shopped at Sears again. And I can't even remember what it was. I don't like them. Why? I don't know. You were going to say something, Lillian?
Yeah, you just made me think about also the mentorship that he received from his family member. it must have been like, also not from a place of offense, but of like, because his heart was so, you know, because you just said that like, John Mark learned from Barnabas, right? He received Barnabas' grace, but also Barnabas like, didn't let the offense be part of the rest of his discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that maybe, yeah, sometimes God puts us in situations with certain people, family, or the ones that understand us that way, because our maturity isn't quite there, and that person won't be able to see us through, but in a healthy way.
Amen.
Right. Right. Yes.
The Bible uses the word deserve. That mean to me, that means he left just out of the blue that way. It doesn't say the reason, but if it wasn't offensive in the way he left, why would the Bible use the word deserted and not just, hey, he was feeling bad and went home?
There are many translations that don't say deserted. It says that he left.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to have a Greek translation around. It'd be interesting to see what the Greek word is.
Okay. But even if it was deserted, that doesn't mean that that's who Mark is for the rest of his life. Not one of us is the
same.
Right. Okay.
But if he did desert him without really any cause, that could lead to Paul having a lot harsher feelings about
could,
him than
yeah.
if he left or.
Right. Okay. I understand that. We're going to jump ahead a few more years. Now we're somewhere between AD 64 and 68. Paul is in a Roman prison for the second time, and this he already knows that this is going to end in his death, you know, this imprisonment. So this in the letter to 2 Timothy, this is Paul is really going to be expressing the things that are most important to him. So let's 2 Timothy chapter 4. Would somebody like to read 4 through 9 for me? Nice and loud, sweetie.
They will turn their ears away from the truth.
And nope, no, that's 1 Timothy.
No, that's
2 Timothy 4.
Maybe you mean 9.
Yeah, I meant, what did I say?
4 through 9.
Oh, 4, 9 through 11. I'm sorry.
Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry.
Amen.
Amen. The translation I read says he is very helpful to me in my ministry. Wow, there's a lot of growth that's taking place here. From deserter to I need him. Wow, I just got goosebumps from that. That should give us all great encouragement that wherever we're at, whatever we think about ourselves, God's not finished with us yet.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. So it's very interesting, isn't it? He is very useful to me. So in reference to our study about John Mark, what stands out to you as this is our last scripture? So we have that picture. How would you describe John Mark in the way you've seen him?
For me, I mean, just talking about today's lesson of growth, right? Just because you grow apart doesn't mean you can't grow back together.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's a credit to both Paul and to Mark, that there was no record of wrong. You know, we look at 1 Corinthians 13, keeps no record of wrong.
I think about John Mark's true love was Jesus. And I say that, you know, I was having a conversation with a lady that I'm reaching out to, and she was talking about church hurt and how a lot of people leave church because of church hurt. Mm-hmm. And John Mark didn't.
Right.
And, I mean, I just, it makes me think about how important it is for us to work through church hurt.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It's powerful.
Anything else? How do you view John Mark? What stands out to you?
I think I view him as the beginning, as a young man starting out, not at the beginning how they say counting the cost of what it would be to start this journey. And I think sometimes, like when we read the Bible, we kind of look at stuff. And I guess in my mindset, I look at it like on these journeys, these were not easy journeys. They didn't have cars. Everywhere they went, they did most of it on foot. And so these journeys were not as easy as sometimes in our mind, you know, mm-hmm. we think that these are easy journeys. And so, you know, maybe somewhere down the line that maybe he hadn't counted the cost of what this would cost him to be able to take this journey. And I think that over the course of the years, not that, you know, I think Paul was, you know, Paul has always been very strong with what Paul believed. He believed it to the max, you know. And so, he had a mission. And in my mind, I'm seeing he had a mission and he was set for his mission. Barnabas, on the other hand, seemed more of a nurturer to me. And that's what I feel like Mark needed at the time, someone to nurture him through, even though he faltered or he had these, fell back or deserted or whatever word we want to use. Barnabas was there and kind of nurtured him back to where he needed to be and just to get him back on track.
Right.
And so I think that both Paul and Mark had some growing there, you know, in terms of, Mark is learning how to count the cost. Or what is this going to cost me? I'm going to accept this. I'm going to walk it all the way off. And Paul, on the other hand, you know, more so of allowing people to grow. They may not grow at your pace, and they will falter, but we have to forgive and keep going.
Right. You know, your thought about Barnabas as a nurturer is true. It's recorded elsewhere in the book of Acts. After Paul was converted, the Christians were afraid of him because he had persecuted the church. Barnabas took hold of Saul and brought him to the apostles and brought him to the church and said, you can trust him. Right. So he's been that way, you know. That is your very good observation there. What lessons can we take? Oh, one more thing first. In that last scripture that we read, one thing stands out to me, and we read the word deserted, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what the word Todd was talking about. Demas deserted Paul, but Mark didn't at this point. And none of us has ever arrived to a point where we couldn't possibly fall.
Yeah.
That's important. There's not a one of us who couldn't fall.
There's one thing that stood out to me, too, is sometimes we can read these scriptures so fast, you know, going through these scriptures and forget just how many names are in here. Mm-hmm. And so really what stood out to me today is that this is the Word of God. This is an account of real people. And this account hasn't stopped. Like, Jesus still can see and knows each of us still by name, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so where would we be, you know, in the word? You know, are we Demas? Are we Mark? Are we Luke? I mean, we're literally known by name. And every little thing that we're doing or not doing when we desert, and I'm not trying to say like, oh, like that, but I'm just saying that wouldn't it be nice, you know, to like our story to be laid out and, hey, we deserted here, but, oh, hey, this is somebody I can count on over here.
Right.
I just think this is really beautiful to see that how much Mark is accounted for throughout the Word of God. I don't think he even probably thought about that. That is, we would be reading this today. I think it's really important to think about that. Jesus knows our name, and our actions are important.
Amen.
Our decisions are super important.
Yeah. That's a great jump-off point. I wanted to ask, what life lessons can we learn from what we studied today? What life lesson can you learn from what we studied today?
How about growing up takes time?
Yeah, absolutely. And we need to remember that for ourselves and for others.
Yes, right. And I think I would add to what Julia said, that we're always in the process of growing. If we're always pursuing maturity in Christ, that standard is not something we can attain in this life. Mm. And so we're always growing then, and being gracious with ourselves, mm-hmm. and being gracious with each other as we're doing that.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
I told Donna recently, I said, because we were talking about a younger generation, and the generations, you know, three generations behind us, we think this or think that about them. And one of the things that I told none of us is where we started.
That's right.
And so we cannot form, we should try not to form an opinion about anyone.
Yeah.
You've got to let them.
And just be mindful of this, that our past don't define who we are. They define who we come, you know, at the end. Mm. And so if we learn from our past, it doesn't define us.
Right.
Zuma said we should never form an opinion. We have to form opinions, but we can't hold steadfastly to it. Because in 10 years, 10 years after I was baptized, anybody who knew me before wouldn't even recognize me. And now it's been 40 years. And I don't recognize me sometimes. We always need to leave room for growth when we form opinions about ourselves or somebody else. Yeah. Like Julia said, Gloria said, grace. What else might you, do you have any lessons you want to?
You know, really have the best people that are taking with you. You have to vet the people that you're taking with you.
Yeah.
Because for that mission, if they would have done it deeper dive, he may have decided, hey, he's not ready to go. And then chosen somebody else that would have been better suited.
Right, yeah. Exactly. We all need to, in a sense, vet ourselves. We can have big plans or desires, but not be ready to do it.
Yeah.
There's a reason I didn't get to go on mission teams when I was a young disciple. Because I wouldn't have helped anybody, done anybody any good. There's room for each of us to grow. I have a challenge today, and it's only about this long. But when we're baptized into Christ, we are who we are. 2 years later, we're not that same person. 10 years later, we're not that same person still. And another 10 years after that, we are grown again. But it all takes time. Nobody should go, there's Paul writes when he's talking about appointing elders, he said they shouldn't be a recent convert because they might get conceited. And even though a guy might be a good businessman or very smart, if he's a recent convert, he's probably not very spiritual enough to be leading the church. So we all need to take that time, you know? And this is the person in your seat right now, you need to feel that way. You need to see that way. And the person to your right or to your left, or the person adjacent to you. But it's very important that we have a sober estimate of ourselves, not thinking more highly than we should of ourselves. A problem I had when I was probably 5 or 6 years in the Lord, I had this revelation. I was really hard on myself, thinking, oh, I haven't grown any. It wasn't that I hadn't grown any. It's that after a couple of years, I thought I was somewhere that I wasn't. And so I didn't see 3 or 4 years of progress because I thought I was already there. We need to have a sober estimate of ourselves because God is not finished with me yet. There's a little picture around the house here somewhere my brother gave to me. It's some little boy that says, God's not finished with me yet. Mm-hmm. So in the same way, we just need to be gracious with ourselves and with our brothers. And one last thing, that earlier Delicia said that we can just read through so fast. Last week my challenge was, it's the Word of God, read it like it's the Word of God, dig in deep, let it change you. I didn't notice some of these things, and I've been reading it for years. This is the first time I put the story together. Mm-hmm. Take that word for all it's worth. Mm-hmm. Let's pray for communion.